If he is sufficient for you, say amen. Amen. He is sufficient. He is our all in all. Our strength, our hope, our victory, our comfort, our joy, our peace. He's our life. He's sufficient. Turn to Joshua, it's chapter 3, back in the Old Testament. How many books are in your Bible? Say it real loud. 66. Just checking. If that's true, then you need to read it all. And I need to preach it all. So we're preaching through Joshua. And our theme is the call to be courageous, because we can't make it in this life unless we are courageous. We can't make it in school. You can't make it at work. You can't make it at home. And I assure you, you can't make it shopping at the pavilion without courage. You know, it's dangerous to be courageous and have the wrong focus. A man appeared before St. Peter at the pearly gates. And Peter said, well, have you done anything of particular merit? Well, he thought. He said, one thing comes to mind. I was on a trip to the Black Hills of South Dakota. And a gang of macho bike riders were threatening a young woman. And I told them to leave her alone or they would answer to me. But they wouldn't listen. So I approached the largest, the most heavy tattooed biker. I smacked him on his head, kicked over his bike, ripped out his nose ring and threw it on the ground and said, I told you to leave her alone or you will answer to me. Peter said, that's pretty impressive. So when did this happen? He said, about 2 minutes ago. Life requires us to be courageous, but we need to have the right focus. Because you can be foolish and be courageous. Yes. Our focus must be in line. So it was for Joshua, and so it must be for us too. Now it takes courage and focus to cross your Jordan. Chapter 3, we've studied chapters 1 and then chapters 2. Now we are on the third. Look, if you will, we'll be studying chapters 3 through 5 today. Keep your Bibles available to you. It takes courage and focus to cross your Jordan. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning. And he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan. And they lodged there before they crossed. Now the Jordan was to Joshua what the Red Sea was to Moses. You see, it was a hindrance. It was a hindrance to the will of God. It was a hindrance to the promises of God. It was a hindrance of experiencing the full measure of God's purpose. And the Jordan had to be crossed. Joshua told the priest to take the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God. It basically was a large box outlined with gold and was carried on poles. And God said to Joshua, now you tell the priests to take the Ark of the Covenant, which represents my presence, and they are to go to the Jordan River. And when the priests put in their toes in the river, that the waters will be peeled held back, and my people will cross on dry ground. You see, the ark was necessary because what God was about to do could not be done by humans. What God was about to do was only the work of the Almighty God Himself. Now, you must have courage and focus to cross your Jordans because you've got Jordans too. In fact, let me just give a moment to consider some of the Jordans that we face. Two of these are outside of us, and two of these Jordans are within us. A Jordan may be a lack of resources. It's true. You may be here today and saying, you know, I'd do a whole lot more for God and my family if I had more money. I just don't have anything, or I have so little. Well, let me say to you, that Jordan needs crossed. And how do you cross it? By being courageous and keeping your focus on the Almighty God Himself. Because God is up to something. You know, there's nowhere in Scripture where God says, listen, you can't make your way into the promised land. You can't encounter your Canaanites. You can't move forward because you just don't have enough money. Nowhere in Scripture God says, slow down your bus because you don't have enough money. That's rather embarrassing for God, I'm sure. Doesn't your God own all there is in this universe? What right do we have to say to God, the Almighty Creator, God, I just can't because I don't have enough money? Maybe your Jordan is a person. Or maybe people. You see, you may not have the right person with you. You may be here today and say, God, if I had someone to stand beside me and support me and care for me and encourage me, then God, I could do it. God, in fact, I have no one. No one is interested in me. Listen, that Jordan needs crossed. You know how you cross it? By being courageous and being focused on the God who is doing great things in your midst. Do you know when Jesus carried his cross to Calvary, he carried it alone? Yeah, you'll say, well, there was Simon of Cyrene. Of course, there was Simon of Cyrene. He bore the physical artifact of the cross, but it was Jesus and Jesus alone who could bear his cross for the salvation of our sins. Jesus is enough. We just sung that and gave God worship and declared that God is enough for us. Cross that Jordan. You may be all alone. You may be the only believer in your family. You may be the only believer in your sphere of friendships. You may be the only believer on your work site. But I want you to know, take courage and keep your focus because the Almighty, powerful God is with you. And you can cross that Jordan. Now, Jordans may be within us. A Jordan may be discouragement. Now, you know you're facing this Jordan when you find yourself complaining. Oh, God, it's just too hard for me. The preacher just doesn't understand. Take courage. Cross that Jordan because God controls your circumstances. God controls factors about your life. God is watching. He sees the sparrows who fall on the ground. He's noticing you too. Cross that Jordan. Don't be discouraged. Raise your head and get ready to walk. Your Jordan may be lethargy. You just don't have enough energy. You just don't have enough get up and go. Your get up and go done went off and got, and you just don't have any more in you. Well, let me just tell you a secret. You see, Jordans just don't dry up. And you can't sit on your sofa and lazy boy drinking sweet tea and think your Jordan's going to dry up. That God's going to send an angel and just take it away and move it in the Euphrates somewhere and suddenly it'll be dry. No, guess what? You must get up and get going. Jesus said, my commission for you, my mission for you is to go make disciples. But you got to go. Get up. There's a promised land awaiting. You see, God's in your midst. You have a Jordan. Maybe I didn't identify your Jordan. There are many in life. God is with you. Keep focus. Be courageous. You'll cross your Jordan. He'll see to it. Now, it takes courage and focus to establish memorial stones. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Joshua, verses 1 through 3. Now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, because that's what they did. The priest went first, the water departed, they went on dry ground. Just as Moses crossed the Red Sea, Joshua crossed the Jordan along with all of Israel with them on dry ground. Now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them saying, now why would he say command them? Because God speaks in commands. He doesn't make suggestions. He commands us because he knows best. And command them saying, take up for yourself 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan from the place where the priest's feet were standing firm and carry them over with you and lay them down in the lodging place where you will dwell tonight. So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. Very simple. God told Joshua to have one person from each of the 12 tribes to grab a large stone out of the Jordan riverbed and to carry it to Gilgal. That was their home base. That was their base camp once they crossed the Jordan River. In fact, as we continue our studies through Joshua, you'll see that they're constantly coming back to Gilgal. Now they were to each man take a rock, carry it out of the riverbed to Gilgal, and they were to make a pile of rocks for a memorial. Now whenever their children would see it through generations to come, they were to explain the great and mighty work that God had done in their lives. Look, if you will, at verses 6 and 7. Chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Let this be a sign among you. In other words, it's pointing to something bigger than a pile of stones. Let this be a sign among you so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Now I imagine in my mind it must have been a peculiar thing for Joshua to say, listen guys, I want every single tribe to delegate one man and they're to go into the Jordan, pick up a pretty sizable rock, carry it with him to the area beyond the Jordan known as Gilgal, and there make a pile of rocks. Now, why now? Say what? You want me like to carry this huge rock out of the riverbed and we are to take it and simply make a pile of rocks? I mean, we're not like to make it into a bench, make it into like a little calf, or make it into something pretty. You mean we just simply are to take these stones and Make a pile of rocks. Joshua said, no, 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 no. It's not a pile of rocks. This is a memorial. And for years and years to come, when your children walk by here, Gilgal, home base, and they say, well, what's that big pile of rocks there? You are to tell them the mighty works of God and how he brought you across your Jordan, led you out of slavery in Egypt, fed you manna and quail, and gave you safe passage. We must keep focus on the great works that God has done for us. Church, we need reminded, and we need to tell our children the great and mighty things that God has done for us. Let us not forget. You know, the significance of a memorial is more than just looking back and saying, oh, that's nice. The significance of a memorial is God has done it in the past and he can do it again. Now, I want to ask you about your memorial stones. Do you have a memorial stone for the time in which Jesus forgave you of your sin and gave you a new life and you were reborn into his family and you now received hope that you will live forever and never die? You'll be in the presence of God for eternity. Is there a memorial stone in your life for that great sacred event? Is there a memorial stone in your life for a time in which your back was against the water and it looked as though your passageway has been stopped and the enemies were now before you? But God showed up. You cried out to him. You prayed to him. And God showed up and led you across your Jordan and gave you victory. Has there been such a time in your life? And is there a memorial in your heart about it? Listen, I remember in college, the very first time I ever fasted, declared a 24-hour fast. I made it 23 hours. I passed the Wendy's and it got me. That's the sacred truth. It was in Athens, Ohio, was I attending a high university. But I left my home in my little old car, traveling back to school, and I cried out to God as never before. I'm not going to get into the matter. It's private to me, but it was involved my family. I was unmarried at the time, a young man crying out to God, and I saw God do something that I'd never seen before in my life. Maybe it was my very first miracle that I became aware of. You can tell it's a memorial stone to me, can't you? It still makes a difference in my life. I look back. I'll never forget the memorial stone. I'm sure you've got a memorial stone. I hope you do. The time when you said, God, if you don't show up, I'm going to really be in trouble here. And God showed his goodness and his grace and his mercy. Do you have a memorial stone erected for a time when you called out to God for service? I mean, you wanted your life to count. And you were just tired of just kind of living, but you really wanted your life to make a difference. Do you have a memorial stone for such a time? Mine is in a little community called Pelston, Michigan. Never been there for years, but there's a memorial stone in my mind and my heart where a little old hotel was renovated into a church house. And God came down one night when I was there, and he called me, and he called me to his ministry as a pastor. And I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. And there's a stone etched to my mind and my heart, because I wanted my life to make a difference. And listen, I know he does that for all of us. And I'm sure he's done it for you too if you have paid attention. Keep focused. You see, God has memorial stones in your life. There's many, by the way. We could spend all day long and all week discussing memorial stones. Things that God has done. He has shown his power. He has shown his goodness. He's come to you just when you needed him the most. And you've erected a stone in your soul, in your mind, in your heart, because you'll never forget. You see, memorial stones keep you focused on what is important. To fail to remember your memorial stones will cause you to drift into insignificance. So my challenge to us this morning is to be courageous. Focus on our memorial stones. and remember the great mighty works that God has done in our lives. Let's move now to chapter 5. It takes courage and focus to stop for spiritual renewal. It takes courage and focus to stop for spiritual renewal. Now, let me say a few words to introduce this chapter before we jump into the text. It is amazing that Joshua led approximately 2 million Jews to cross the Jordan River. They established Gilgal as their base of operations. And everything that they had hoped for 40 years of wandering in the desert was now within reach. The Jews were primed to take the promised land. And early indications suggest that the people of Canaan were melting in fear because they heard the power of God was in his people and they were on the march. It was time to strike a paralyzing blow to the Canaanites. They were ready, but not yet. Something else needed to occur. They'd crossed the Jordan. They'd seen the mighty work of God. They had erected memorial stones. And they were chomping at the bit to move forward. And God says, not yet. They needed spiritual renewal. It takes courage and focus to stop for spiritual renewal. Do you know God doesn't get in a hurry so that he sidesteps your and my need for spiritual renewal? You see, before there can be victory in our lives, before we can enter the promised land, and before we can deface our enemies, the Canaanites, there must be spiritual renewal. And God gave the Jews three forms of spiritual renewal, and we find them listed in chapter 5. First, they needed the renewal of circumcision. You'll say, well, was circumcision like different than circumcision today for little boys? Circumcision of the flesh. Now, here you are, you've got all your male soldiers, right? Your males who are ready to make war into the Canaanites. And God said, the first thing you knew, you got to circumcise them. Look at chapter 5, verse 2. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make for yourself flint knives. Oh, there's good surgery. And circumcise again the sons of Israel the second time. Now, let me make sure that you don't misunderstand this. They weren't getting circumcised twice, because the first time they were circumcised is when they left Egypt, and once they arrived basically at the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. The men were circumcised then. Most of them had died off, and now there's a new generation from 40 years of wandering that had not been circumcised. And Joshua says, all these young strapping men who are strong and who are able to fight and to take the promised land, stop, circumcise them. And you're talking about incapacitating your soldiers. God, what are you thinking? Look at verse 2. Oh, we just read verse 2, didn't we? Circumcision was a sacred rite that symbolized their belonging to the covenant people of God. It means you are one of us. You belong to the covenant people of God. It also meant that you are going to remove yourselves from the sinfulness, the impurity of sin, sexual sin and other sin, because now you belong to the chosen holy people of God. In the New Testament, circumcision illustrates Christian baptism. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 2, way back in the New Testament, of course. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Colossians 2, 11 and 12. There's nowhere in the New Testament that we Christians are commanded to circumcise men. That's done more for family preference today for various reasons that are not necessary for the church. But what we find in the New Testament is there is a circumcision of type, and that's baptism. Colossians 2, 11 and 12. If you found it, say yes. And in him is Jesus, and in Jesus you were also circumcised, in Jesus, with a circumcision made without hands. This circumcision you didn't even need hands to do. In the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith and the working of God who raised him from the dead. You see, baptism represents being dead to sin. You see, that's why we baptize, we say, you go completely under the water. We identify that as biblical baptism because it's a symbol of death. It's a symbol of the grave. You die to yourself. You die. You are planted in the tomb of death, but you are raised to walk in the newness of life. Baptism symbolizes that we have removed ourselves from a life of sin, and we live now as a part of the people who follow Jesus, holy and righteous. Baptism. You see, there are some of you here today who need baptism. I'm just going to be as clear as I can be. You see, God has a pathway, and we need to stick to his pathway. Now, I know folks argue it. They think, well, I can spiritualize it, and I just think it's just me and Jesus. I'm a good person. I got Jesus. All I need is Jesus. I don't need all that baptism stuff. I don't need to be biblically baptized. I'll just sprinkle myself at home or whatever. Now, when you start changing the command of God, you change the message of God. And when you change the message of God, you are changing eternal truth. I don't know about you. I just prefer to stick with God's revealed truth. You see, baptism is that symbol. It's that sign, just like circumcision. And here they were, before they made their way into the promised land, they were chopping at the bullet, they were ready to go. Joshua says, stop! Men, you need to be circumcised. I know that's not good military strategy because you're going to be walking like a duck for a few days. But I'm telling you something, it is required. I shouldn't have said that, should I? Circumcision of the heart. Baptism. Listen, if you've not been biblically baptized, I don't know what you're waiting on. It's time you get in line. It's time that you commit to it. It's time that you stop, focus, and take care of it. Second, they needed the renewal of Passover. Look at chapter 5, verse 10. Back to Joshua again. Joshua chapter 5, verse 10. There were three forms of renewal that God said to stop and to go through these three forms of renewal. The first was circumcision, and number two was Passover. Chapter 5, verse 10. While the sons of Israel camped at Gilgal, ready to go, primed, they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month on the desert plains of Jericho. After they were circumcised, now they were saying, God, I am pure and holy. I have removed those symbols of death, and I'm living now in newness. I am a holy one of God. I'm committed. I'm in this thing. Baptism symbolized that. And now they celebrated Passover. I mean, can you imagine? They're getting ready to go to war, and they're saying, stop, we're going to have a big feast right here. And for days, they would have done this for 7 days, was the requirement of Passover. They would have eaten lamb and eaten matzah, as we know it, unleavened bread. And they would have eaten bitter herbs. This would have been the second time Israel would observe the Passover. The first time Israel observed the Passover was when? In Egypt, the original time. Now they're observing Passover for the second time. You see, God said you need to stop, because you need to experience Passover, because it's going to help you focus on what's important. Now, what was Passover a celebration of? It was a celebration of that 10th plague, of when the first male child of every animal and human was put to death, for the exception of those who would take the lamb's blood and sprinkle it over the lintel in the doorway of the home. Hence, Passover. When the blood was applied, the blood of the lamb was applied to the doorway, the blood of the lamb, death passed over that home. You see, they had to remember it was the blood of the lamb that's going to be with them and enable them to face the Canaanites. 1 Corinthians 5:7, you're going to find it on the wall. In fact, I'm going to ask the whole church to read this verse together. You'll see it. Let's read it from the wall. You can turn to your Bibles if you wish, but so that we're reading the same version. 1 Corinthians 5:7. You ready? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Jesus is your Passover. Jesus is my Passover. It was his blood. It was the Lamb's blood. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who gave his blood, who we apply over the mantle of our heart, so that death passes over us and we receive everlasting life. You need to celebrate that and hold on to the Passover. He's your Savior. He's your Deliverer. And no amount of business, whether it's church business, if it's financial business, if it's family business, it doesn't matter what your business is. You need to stop and be reminded and experience again of that blood that Jesus has applied over your heart. And don't go anywhere without it, because that's your Deliverer. It's the precious blood of Jesus. The third act of renewal was that they needed renewal of focused worship. Chapter 15, verses 13 through 15, our last verses, but listen carefully. Chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho. We'll get to that next week, Lord willing. That's the next great battle. That he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Are you for us or against us? He said, no, rather I indeed came now as captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, Joshua was to lead God's people in military conquest. But the people of Israel knew nothing about military advancement. You know what Israel knew about? They knew how to make brick. Oh, they can make a nice brick, because that's what they had been doing for over 400 years in Egypt. By the way, they also knew how to wander around in the wilderness. They were wilderness nomads, and they were good at it because they had survived the Egyptian wilderness and the Negev wilderness, and they had done that for 40 years. But as far as being a military conqueror, they knew nothing of the swords. I can't help but imagine Joshua walking off from the people saying, "Oh, this is going to be something. These former slaves you've led here now to take these fortified cities with giants occupying the land. Whew, God, what an audacious task it's going to be." And then suddenly, right before Joshua's eyes, there was a heavenly soldier who brandished his sword. And Joshua said, "Who are you? I don't know you. Who are you? Are you for us? Are you against us?" He says, "Listen, I am the Lord of the host of the Almighty God. I will be with you and I will fight with and for you." And Joshua fell down on his face. And he said, "Oh Lord, what do you want to say to me?" And he said, "Joshua, take off your sandals, because the ground you are standing is holy." You see, this was like Moses' burning bush. Moses crossed the Red Sea. Joshua crossed the Jordan, both on dry ground. God spoke to Moses in a burning bush. God spoke to Joshua through the heavenly soldier. Who was this heavenly soldier? I believe, as do many, this was none other than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Jesus the Christ. Hundreds of years, centuries of years before his birth on earth, Jesus stood and said, "Remove your sandals because you are standing on holy ground." And Joshua worshiped. Because we cannot lead the people of God. We can't lead our families. We can't lead our friends. We can't lead our work associates. We cannot lead anybody to face Canaanites until we worship. With focus worship, meaning that focus worship is worship on Jesus. You see, Jesus was the Lamb's blood. Oh, coincidence, just had Passover. It's the Lamb's blood. Our worship is Jesus focused. And Joshua worshiped and led the people of God to do the same. Reader's Digest once wrote a story that I'm not sure I'll ever forget. It's a story about a woman by the name of Angie and her husband by the name of David. They had just finished that day 6 years of marriage. 6 year anniversary. And as they made their way out of the house early that day, their house caught fire and burned. When they returned, it was a smoldering rubbish. Struck in fear and loss. Soon, Angie would make her way through the rubble. And immediately, her focus was on the family photo album. She found it. Tears in her eyes. Found the photo album, grabs it and goes to David, who was in another place of ashes, on his knees. And as she arrives to tell David that she found the family album, she saw what David held in his hand. And that was a wooden cedar box with some folded, smoldering papers. You see, just as Angie knew where the family photo album was and she made a beeline to find that symbol of her good life, David went to this little box that contained their courtship letters. And every anniversary, he would read them, or they would read them, kind of as a renewal. It was their sixth anniversary. That evening, they would have gathered the wooden box, opened it, and read the letters. And here is David holding this tarnished cedar box in his hand. Angie said, I looked at David, and here we were standing, and nothing but rubble. And nothing mattered. Our sofa, there are other items that we lost, the roof, the whole house, the structure. She said, but at that moment, I knew that we had the right thing, the real deal. Because my husband was on his knees. And what was most important to him, what he was focused on, was those symbols of our love. And here's Angie focused on the family album, the very same kind of symbol. Despite all the loss, we'd have courage to go on, rebuild our lives, because our focus was right. You see, you have Jordans to cross. They are common in life. And you just can't avoid them. And God will show his power in your life. And these need to become memorial stones. So you can look back and say, you know what, God, you did it once, you can do it again. And I'm going to cross this Jordan because of your power and your might. But before you do, stop. Stop, no matter how energetic, how determined you are, stop. Seek spiritual renewal. Make sure you're biblically baptized, the symbol of your salvation and your obedience to live a new life of holiness. Come and take Passover, meaning that the blood of Jesus, that lamb, has been sprinkled over your heart. And if it hasn't, you need to come today and trust Jesus as your Savior. Because nothing can replace the blood of Jesus. It has to be the lamb's blood to be sprinkled over the doorways of your heart. If that's not happened, you need to come and we'll pray with you. You can receive that as a free gift. You've not been biblically baptized, we'll provide that for you. You come make a commitment. If that's happened, then you will look back and make sure that's a memorial stone. Third and finally, you need to worship with focus. Need to stop and see Jesus garnishing his sword, standing along with all of heaven's angels, his heavenly host, saying, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to fight with you and for you. Now worship. I'm afraid some of you may not worship today. You'll leave saying, okay, that was all right. It's all right. The choir day did pretty good. Preacher's joke was funny at least. Oh, it was all right. It's all right. You're going to miss everything. You'll miss this. You're going to miss God. Listen, don't leave here and miss God. And Jesus, your Savior, your bloody Lamb. Don't miss it. Don't leave here the same. Fall down on your face and worship. It's the only way we can defeat the Canaanites in our lives. Father, we look to you, oh God, at the sacred time of decision. A time, Lord, when we must act upon what you have said here in this friendly environment of the church, among the people of God, a very friendly place, supportive place, a lovely place, a quiet place here in this worship center. with your presence and the angels looking around, cheering us on. May we make the first step to say yes to you, whatever that is, whatever you would require us to say yes to, may it be done today. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for winning victory for us. We follow and obey. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the preaching ministry at Liberty Baptist Church. We trust the Lord will show His mercy and grace to you. At Liberty, we believe everyone counts. Our motto is, one church, all people. If there is a need in your life that we can meet, please contact us soon. Perhaps you need prayer for a personal matter. We'll be glad to pray for you. Maybe you need spiritual counsel. We have trained staff to help you. Perhaps you're looking for a friendly church that bases its teaching and practice on the Bible. Then consider us your home church. You can contact us by phone at 770-461-5644. You may wish to learn more about the ministry of Liberty Baptist Church from our website. It is www.lbcfayette.org. May God greatly bless you, and thanks again for your interest in the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ.